The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. And I am cold today.
It is freezing cold.
That is not on the script, but I am cold.
Even inside.
I'll tell you what. Do you ever wonder how your money and the stuff you own are actually helping you live out what you feel called to in your heart, even when it's cold? Right? There's so much peace of mind when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and your convictions.
And what if it's not, James?
Oh, that's not good.
That's never good.
Yeah, just anxiety.
Confusion.
And poor
decision-making.
And poor decision, yeah, because when you're, I mean, if you're worried and confused, that is not a recipe for making good decisions.
Not at all.
Yeah, and you can actually hurt yourself pretty badly.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, all it takes is to open up some of the fine print.
Of?
Stuff, like, did you ever look at the fine print on an IRA?
Yeah, you made me read it.
But
most people know.
Or a mutual fund, or like a life insurance policy, some of that. Anyway, wow. There's this stuff all over the place, and it's easy to get confused. So anyway, we're going to talk about stuff like that today. Not life insurance, but you know how to sort of cut through the confusion.
Mm-hmm. And welcome to episode 88.
Is it 88?
It is.
Episode 88 of Money and Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. And at the beginning of our show here, we'll jump right in to our week in review, where we go over some of the news stories and talk about what's going on in markets and the economy.
Yeah. And then we'll get to my favorite part of the show.
Which is?
The weekly puzzler. Except we're not doing puzzles.
No, we're on a puzzle break.
Yeah, we're on a puzzle break. We're doing trivia.
We're doing Pennsylvania trivia.
Pennsylvania, not just any trivia, Pennsylvania trivia.
That's right.
So if you're listening to this and you're in a different state, come on up to Pennsylvania, right? And
each week we'll tell you some more facts.
We'll tell you some more. That's right.
Well, let's jump in. Which one of these news stories here do you want to tackle first? We've got a lot going on.
Busy, busy week. It's always a busy week, right? But especially it seems like, you know, eight times a year, the Federal Reserve gets together and decides, are they going to raise or lower interest rates? And it's like the world holds their collective breath. Drum roll, please. The Fed is meeting now. What are they saying behind closed doors? And what's the decision going to be?
They do send some signals sometimes.
They do send some signals sometimes.
But yeah, it is like that.
Yeah.
It's like jury is deliberating.
Right. Yeah. Except that, you know, what's interesting to me, usually the Fed comes out and makes this announcement and the markets move and it doesn't seem like it's been that impactful.
No, not so much.
I mean, over the last year or so, year and a half maybe, it just seems like the Fed is, it's like people are like, okay, so what?
It's going to do what it's going to do.
I need
to keep worrying about my investments in the meantime.
That's right. And, you know, why is any of that really important anyway? Well, I mean, honestly, if your investments are not positioned well in light of what's happening, then...
You might get rocked.
Well, you open your statement and you're like, what just happened there?
Mm-hmm.
There's a great word I learned a long time ago. Unbelievable.
Yes.
You're like looking at your statement and saying, unbelievable.
But folks need to believe it.
But you believe it anyway. So anyway, so if you're not positioned the right way and some of these things happen, then you're either pleasantly surprised or you're badly disappointed, depending how your investments are positioned. So the Fed met and decided to keep
interest rates right where they were.
Is that what you thought they were going to do?
I was kind of busy looking at other things like, you know, the price of precious metals. And I completely forgot that the Fed was actually getting together. But there it was. So I didn't have an opinion.
Joe, that's not often.
Doesn't
happen. You're right. Let's mark the calendar.
Mark the calendar. There's not much of an opinion. But, you know, Mr. Powell, the chair of the Fed, said that our economy is, as he said, expanding at a solid pace with low job gains and stabilizing unemployment. And so he felt like keeping interest rates right about where they were was the thing to do.
Yeah, I know we were talking, but you probably don't necessarily agree with Chairman Powell that we're expanding at a solid pace, would you?
Well, so here's a question. I mean, if the economy is expanding at a solid pace, then why is Amazon like eliminating 16,000 corporate jobs? 16,000.
Yeah, and that would bring the total since October all the way up to 30,000. So they've been slashing.
I mean, that's not an insignificant number.
No.
And if Amazon was the only company out there that was doing that, that would be one thing.
And like we talked about earlier, UPS, who has done a lot of deliveries for Amazon, is really scaling back, closing down locations, and having layoffs as well.
That's right.
So it's like a down chain effect.
Yeah. And did you hear that FedEx is buying out UPS?
You've told me before.
Yeah.
Joe, did you hear that?
The new company is going to be called Fed Up.
Well placed.
Oh, boy. That needs a boom shake, doesn't it? Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's hard to imagine that we're in an expanding economy, right? But anyway, Christopher Waller and Stephen Moran dissented. They thought that interest rates should be cut. But everybody else on the board thought that that keeping rates the same was fine. So they kept it at 10 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
But precious metals.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a different animal, isn't it?
Flew to the sky.
What's going on there?
So what's going on is that the U.S. dollar is getting clobbered.
Yeah.
Absolutely clobbered. So it's fascinating. Sometimes people see the price tag on something like precious metals go up. And, I mean, precious metals are rocks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gold is a rock.
Literally.
Yeah. Dig it out of the ground is a rock. So is silver. So, you know, when prices of gold and silver go up, the real question is, did that rock suddenly become more valuable? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, no, it really didn't. What happened was that the stuff you used to buy it lost a lot of purchasing power.
Right. I've been told that before. Mm-hmm. This is historically, if you look at it, as right. The dollar goes down, gold usually goes up.
Yeah. So, do we have this economy growing at a solid pace if the value of our currency is falling off a cliff?
Well, I mean, could you be having a currency that is decreasing in value, but still the rest of the economy is firing on cylinders and making all these products and services are being provided, even though the value of the dollar itself may not be doing well?
I suppose that's possible. Yeah. That's possible. The equation, though, always remember, I always think that an economy is just a total, you total up all the transactions, right? So if you would put all households in a bucket and total up, it's like adding up all the cash register receipts at the end of the year. So all the households, and then you take all the businesses, and then you take all the governments, and you take all the farms, and you just say, look, here are different buckets of things, and they all spend money, right?
Different parts of our economy.
That's right. And you add everything up, that's the total of the economy. So when they say the economy is growing at a solid pace, what they mean is that they're adding up all the cash register tapes from all those different buckets.
And they see a higher number.
And if they see a higher number, then, boom, we grew.
We're growing.
That's right. The problem there is that if all you did was charge more for the same products, you're still going to get a bigger number, but you didn't actually grow. You just charged more for the same products.
And you kind of have to if the value of the dollar itself is going down.
That's
you
right.
You need more of those dollars.
That's right. So you can actually have a bigger and bigger and bigger number and have no growth whatsoever. Interesting.
Very interesting. That's probably why they printed off all those dollars.
That's and remember, government spending is part of that. So if the government has to borrow a lot of money, then that's part of the equation as well. So it would be interesting.
But it's not really providing value.
That's right.
Society, really.
It would be interesting to see what the numbers would be if we took out all government spending.
And then looked at those.
And then looked at those numbers to see if we're actually growing or not. But in any case, you know, the Fed said, hey, our economy is expanding, and so we're going to leave rates the same.
So do you think that investors are viewing the U.S. as an unstable partner, per se, or?
Well, it honestly feels that way.
Yeah?
Yeah. There was actually an event that took place about 2 weeks ago called the World Economic Forum.
Davos.
Yeah, Davos. Yeah. And all these world leaders stand up and talk about what is happening in their countries and their businesses and so on and so forth. So, you know, if you haven't checked out the speeches that were made at the World Economic Forum, check that out, right? And then you kind of reflect on, what do we think? Does it seem like the world is trying to find other places of stability, or, you know, exactly how confident are things?
Everyone's going to have to look out for their best interest.
That's exactly right. Sure. That's exactly right. But certainly, I do think that, you know, we live in a world in which, you know, supply chains are recalibrating and going different places. And so the world is kind of, you know, being, the apple cart is getting turned upside down to some degree.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it.
That's right.
Well, we're all out of time in this segment, folks. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Christ Community Catholic. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Nourishing our Catholic family, sharing our faith with others.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we're talking today about what it means to do well, to be able to say, well done.
That's right. My good and faithful servant.
Yeah. Yeah, like well done, good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm. And the stewardship that comes along with that.
That's right. So, do you remember what episode it was? It was some time ago. We were reading out of a book called The Eternity Portfolio. And
I remember that you liked that the book was blue.
I liked the book was blue.
I do remember that part.
I still have that book.
But I don't remember the episode number, no.
Yeah. So I want to, you know, I just want to kick off what we're talking about here. Well done. I'd like to revisit that story, and because I do think we have this problem in our country today, right, where we want to serve God and we want to do well, but in our own families and in our jobs and just all the different things we do, it's sometimes it seems like there's a huge gap between the stuff that the Bible talks about and like how it really works out for me and my job.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've talked about the parable of the talents.
That's right.
You know, and this kind of puts a more modern
yeah.
and relatable twist to it.
That's right. So So we'll do this. There was once a wealthy man who departed on a long journey. He planned to be gone for an indefinite period of time. I mean, that sounds a lot like some of the trips you take. maybe a few years, but possibly he'd be gone for longer than that. In preparation for this extended absence, he called three trusted financial managers and divided all of his stuff between them. "Take this money," he said, "and use it to further my interests. Use it to further my business." Now, the owner knew the abilities of each of the managers, and he divided the funds accordingly. To Charlie Wise, he gave $5 million. To Sarah Prudence, he gave $2 million. And to Jeffrey Short, $1 million. I hope there's nobody named any of those. I don't think so. Anyway, confident that his affairs were in order, the owner set sail, not to be seen again for many years. So Charlie and Sarah set to work immediately, laying plans for several investment ventures. Charlie had this great idea the owner had given him about starting franchise operations of the owner's business. The owner's product was so amazing that it really sold itself. Those who had a need for it just kept coming, and they couldn't help but introduce it to their friends and their acquaintances. Charlie communicated daily with the owner by phone and through email and texts. Over the years, Charlie partnered with others affiliated with the owner to establish a worldwide distribution network for the product. Business was booming, and the profits were really starting to accelerate when the owner returned. Now, Sarah had spent a good deal of time studying written instructions the wealthy owner had left behind. And after communicating with him on some initial strategic issues, she felt confident of the right direction for her investments. Sarah developed a marketing plan for the owner's main product and gave away free samples and promoted goodwill and interest for the owner. Sarah was in constant communication with him, and she was able to market his true persona really, really effectively. Sales began to flow, and although Sarah's division did not see all the results directly, she knew from the company field reports that she was having a huge impact. It seemed like they were just getting started when the owner returned. Now, Jeffrey was really excited at the prospect of $1 million. "Look what the owner he gave me," he thought. "The world is at my disposal." He seemed to recall some vague instruction about keeping the owner's best interest in mind, but Jeffrey was not much one for communication, and he did not have any time to read the owner's written instructions and all that fine print. If he is going away for such a long time, he thought, I need to earn a living too. And who knows when or if even the owner will actually return. Jeffrey set aside most of the money in a safe deposit box at the bank. He used some of the money to start a personal business and became very successful in his own right. Every now and then, someone would mention to him his responsibility as a manager of the owner's money. And out of guilt, he would return a little bit of what he was using for himself to the safe deposit box. He figured that in a few years, there would be an opportunity to focus on the owner's investment. But time passed quickly, and fear struck Jeffrey's heart when he heard that the owner had returned. Now, Charlie could hardly contain his excitement. "At first, I wasn't sure how your big idea would ever be successful," he said to the owner. "But the more we talked and the further things went, the more I bought into the whole strategy." He handed over a bank statement that showed $10 million in a corporate account. "And that's just the profits we have collected," Charlie said, beaming. "It is difficult to measure the value of the whole business venture." The owner was obviously pleased. "Well done, my friend," he said. "You have managed my investment faithfully for all these years. You could have enjoyed a lot of smaller pleasures along the way, but I think you'll be pleased with what's in store for you. The owner explained that new and greater responsibilities were waiting for Charlie, and an enormous reward was set aside for his faithfulness. Charlie was almost speechless in his joy and gratitude, but he managed to stammer out, "It seems like so much for the effort I expended with your money." Seeing Charlie leave the owner's office with a dazed smile on his face, Sarah was a little apprehensive. She quietly handed over the financial statement for her division, with $4 million showing on the balance sheet. "I'm sorry, it doesn't seem like very much after all these years," Sarah began. But the owner interrupted her with a wave of his hand. "On the contrary, Sarah, you have done well. This is a good return on my investment, and you don't know even a fraction of what has accrued to my business as a result of your diligent efforts." Sarah was thrilled as the owner explained that the vast treasure that was hers, along with a new and greater role in the company's management. "To all the sacrifices that you made along the way, Sarah, they were duly noted. The hours you put in, the financial commitment, nothing was forgotten. You made the most of my investment." Now, Sarah couldn't help but wonder at the seeming inequity of the whole thing. "I only did what you told me to do. In return, I'm getting all of this." "Well, that's right." Upon hearing the owner's return, Jeffrey had scrambled to pull together the $1 million the owner had entrusted to his care. It seemed so small after all the years that he had the bank give it to him in bags of fives and tens. Just to kind of help, it looked more significant that way. And as he approached the owner, he began with excuses. "Here it is," he said, "all $1 million. I knew that you were ruthless, and it scared me a little, so I kept your money very safe in the bank. And now you can have it all back." The owner was furious. He said, "To see no return on his money after so many years. What do you mean?" "Jeffrey, you wicked and lazy manager," he exclaimed. "Even though you knew I was a ruthless person, you did nothing to make my money grow. You didn't even try. Even if you had deposited it in a bank account, I would have earned something. I had great plans for you, but you forfeited it all for the paltry returns of your own investments." The owner motioned to his security guards, "Take the money away from him and give it to Charlie Wise, and throw this worthless manager out of my business. He will never work for us again, and he will suffer loss forever because he mismanaged my investments."
Wow.
Wow. I mean, we would love to hear "well done," right? I mean, every single person
feels good,
I think, would love to hear "well done." But like we said, what exactly does that mean? Let's maybe spend a little bit of time trying to unpack what that really might mean for us today as we think about, you know, how we apply some of those biblical principles into things we're doing in our lives right now.
That's right. But first, James.
But first.
We're about out of time in this segment, so it's time for us to switch gears.
It's time for my favorite part of the show.
Which is?
A weekly puzzler.
Trivia.
Trivia. Oh, weekly trivia.
Yep.
Trivia now, not a puzzler. But some of these trivia things are puzzling anyway.
Yeah, they make you think.
Last week, what borough, not a town, right, but a borough in Pennsylvania has been home to an underground coal mine that has been burning since 1962?
Whew.
And estimated that the fire could continue to burn for another 250 years.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
What is it, Joe?
I got to put my mic on.
Oh, you got to put your mic on.
It's Centralia.
Centralia.
But he knew it.
Hold on, there it is. Yes, I was about to say Centralia.
Yeah, he knew
which
that.
I've been to several times.
Interesting.
I'm from Schuylkill County, so I knew that.
And can you actually see?
You can see smoke coming up.
You
can't see fire, but you can see.
It's down deep in the coal veins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now there's just like pockets where you can see smoke coming up, and it smells like sulfur. It smells like burning stuff.
Yeah. There.
It's not a good thing. The video game Silent Hill was based on Centralia. A little bit of trivia to add to your trivia.
A little bit of trivia, that's right.
That's pretty cool. So this week's trivia is, what three cities in Pennsylvania were once location to our great nation's capital?
If you think you know the answer, send your answer to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the answer on the podcast next week.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money Emission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money Emission, where we're talking each week about wealth management, built on the foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we just finished reading, again, the parable of the talents. And
the modern style.
The modern style, that's right. I mean, if you want the original style, you can look that up in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, and also Luke 19, verse 11. It goes on for several verses, but that's where you can find that story. So the interesting thing, you know, we want to hear God at one point say to us, well done. But, you know, again, what exactly does that mean? Because we read about biblical principles and certainly, you know, over there was talents. Of course, Jesus told that story. That was... We always think about money, right? But there was probably skill sets, and God has actually entrusted us with a lot of resources.
A whole lot of resources. Right?
And but still, you know, life today is not the same as it was thousands of years ago when he told that story. So, you know, my family...
The principles remain.
Yeah, the principles remain, but my family circumstances are unique. Maybe. I mean, there may be other families that have similar characteristics, but certainly, you know, the business that I'm in is different than the business that other people are in. So what I do and what you and I do every day, Eric, you know, is different than what Joe does every day and our vocation. And
so what would be well done for me might differ a little bit for Joe.
It might look different for Joe. It might look different for me. And so I think we...
And we have different... aspects of our life, right?
Yeah.
That we need to focus on and get well done in.
That's right.
Because we might be pretty well done in some areas, but rather deficient in other areas.
But maybe not. Yeah, that's right. And so the question is, what exactly does that look like, right? And I think it's appropriate. The first month of this year is now behind us. And
gone.
That's right. But as you think about setting goals, you know, we've talked about the importance of having smart goals and but you know, maybe you're listening to the podcast today and you've been struggling to really try to figure out how to set goals, right?
And what does well done mean? How do you define that for yourself so you know what to strive for?
That's right. Yeah. And we've talked about things like finish lines and so on and so forth. So, but really, really just again, as you said, thinking about what does well done actually mean? And so we want to encourage you, our listener, to really spend some time in prayer, evaluating life and thinking about what well done might look like for you in some of these different areas of life. So, and I would tell you that I think probably because sometimes when we can't really nail this down, we can't get a good picture of what well done might look like, it results in maybe us having a lack of focus because we're going all these different directions and we're not really sure what well done actually look like? Or,
you know, again, if it's not defined for you, not clear, just like your goals.
Mm-hmm.
The SMART goal isn't clear and actionable, and
right.
You're just going to be spiraling and spiraling out of control.
That's right. Or maybe you have this feeling and you feel like you're not doing enough to be well done, and so you wind up trying to do everything. And then you...
Not so well, though.
Not so well. That's right. You wind up being overcommitted, and you end up burning out because you've got all these commitments, and you can't keep them.
And neglecting the other important aspects of your life.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes people who aren't clear on that end up just being workaholics.
I got to keep going.
That's right. They lean into one specific thing, and they just can't quit and can't stop.
Keep grinding.
And then conversely, on the other side, if it just feels like there's so much out there, but it's all nebulous and ambiguous.
No point to even trying anyway.
Then you just sit and you don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And you wind up being aimless or lazy. And so you wind up with these downstream problems.
Right.
Joe's nodding his head. Like,
mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying... aimless, lack of direction. Yeah, that would be James. Yeah.
There's a picture of you in
the picture. Yeah. That's exactly right. But being, you know, but having a clear vision of this, right, it helps us to maybe be more effective in setting goals.
Also a clear vision, but, you know, more importantly, why?
Why?
Yeah. Why that vision?
That's right.
I know in the Army we used to call that like commander's intent. So you were told what you kind of had to do, but you were also given the commander's intent because mm-hmm. just in case things didn't go the way they were supposed to,
right.
You knew what his intent was so you can adapt and overcome the obstacle.
That's right. And this, you know, this shows up in spades when you are sitting down and reviewing like a financial plan.
Sure.
Because it's really all about, I mean, that is really all about what's in your heart.
And what's that bucket of money for?
And what's that bucket of money for? Yeah.
The why.
And so if you're not clear on that, I mean, who knows? You might think that well done for you is having the same amount of money that the algorithm tells you that you need to have in order to be able to retire successfully. And so
those
you
little
wind
easy up, calculators.
That's right. Yeah, the little easy calculator. They're on websites all over the place, mm-hmm. right? Or this is how much money you need so that your money lasts. And then you spend your life working and working and working. And then someday you wake up and you find that you climbed the ladder and you discover that the ladder is propped up against the wrong wall.
But what kind of life is that? You work all your life mm-hmm. just so you don't have to work anymore at some point?
That's right, because the algorithm tells you.
That's right. Right.
So understanding what it means to say, well done. So here's a question, though, as we really think about this. Are you clear on your mission?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really have a clear understanding about why God has you in this world to begin with? Your purpose.
And more specifically, if God audited your life portfolio.
Ah, audit.
Yeah. In which category would he find a buried treasure?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got them.
Because we've got them.
We just need to assess.
That's right. That's right. So understanding your why, understanding your purpose, right? You set these goals, and the main idea is that after you've worked through that kind of understanding, those sets of questions, that one day you stand in front of God, and maybe not even one day, but just
you know
what?
Then, you got to stand in front of your brothers, your sisters, your family, church, your community.
At the end of the day today. Even,
the mirror.
That's right. I'm standing in front of God at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the week. And you know, is he saying, well done? So, but you mentioned all these different areas. So let's, this life portfolio audit. I think it really is. And how did you say it, that there's plenty of buried treasure?
Well, if God audited your life portfolio, yeah, where would he find your buried treasure?
Where would he find buried treasure?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the implication is that in various and sundry areas of life, there are some things that I'm just really picking up and going with it, and then there's other places where...
We might have some gaps.
I'm just not doing anything. That's right. It's like money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a soul-searching question. Yeah, it really is kind of a soul-searching question. The third servant buried his talent because he was afraid. Now, I heard one pastor say that he wasn't afraid. It was more like he was just being arrogant.
Hmm.
But either way.
Either way, right.
Either way, he didn't do anything with it. And the master was so irritated that he threw him out. So I guess.
And maybe just a misunderstanding of value, you know, because he said, I was trying not to lose it for you. But
yeah.
That's not really what stewardship is, right?
That's right. I mean, that's a pretty big misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
What I mean to connect that with is I think maybe people nowadays might be in that trap.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking, well, I'm doing the right thing. I'm
right.
You know, I'm
right.
Paying the bills. I'm raising my kid.
Yeah.
This is well done.
That's right. So do you think we avoid goal setting in weak areas like physical health? Or
I know my uncle never went to the doctor.
Yeah, challenging relationships.
And he passed away from it.
Do you think we avoid that because we're afraid of failure?
Lots of reasons. Failure being a big one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to actually end up at a spot where we're hearing well done, that takes a certain amount of risk. Like you have to do something.
That's right.
And when you do something, that something might not work the way that you intended it to.
But if you know the commander's, a.k.a. God's intent,
uh-huh.
Right. Then you can pick up that mantle and keep going.
Well, that's right. That's right. But still, even if you know the intent.
Because plans don't always go the way you want them.
That's right. That's why we say
that's the only thing you can plan on.
There's risk,
mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, we say this all the time. It is so true that no matter what you do, there's always a risk that it won't work. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go here. But the question is, this question you have here, are you hoarding out of fear of the 2026 market? Like, what's happening in the 2026 market?
Well, I had a client even yesterday said he doesn't, not sure if he wants to be invested right now because of what's going on in Washington and the political turmoil. So he's thinking about just keeping his money at the bank.
Yeah, so we come up with reasons why this might not be a good idea right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's with investments, right? Maybe there's a relationship in the relationship topic, right? Maybe there's a relationship of people you haven't talked with for years and you're just, you should mend some fences, whatever, but you don't want to because you're afraid of how the conversation is going to turn out.
You might look foolish.
Right. You might look foolish.
Not want to apologize.
Right. Or maybe you've heard bad things about a particular financial vehicle, like life insurance.
Annuities.
Annuities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't do anything.
They get a bad rep sometimes.
That's right. And so you don't do anything because you're afraid you'll make a bad decision or you're afraid you don't understand. And so there are, you know, I think as we wrap up today's episode, we should talk about seven key areas of life where we can measure and really think about what does it mean to hear well done.
That sounds great. But first, we have to take a break. We'll be back here shortly, everyone. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. And we are talking today about what it means to hear well done.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? And
how do you get there?
And how do you get there? That's right, because life today is different. It feels like there's a gap, right, between what we read about in the Bible and what we then do in our lives. And we said there were seven key areas, but I would say really before even getting to those key areas, to understand your purpose, right? To truly have a mission in life is so critical. And if we have time, maybe we'll hit on that a little bit too. But seven key areas. And the main idea here really is, again, if you haven't set goals for 2026, or maybe if you already have, it might not be a bad idea to go back and revisit those goals, or to look at that and think about these seven key areas as you're setting your goals and reviewing what you want to get done in 2026.
And because those are your goals, I'm sure they're important to you, mm-hmm. and you want to know that you can check them off and say well done for each one of them.
That's right. Yeah. So the first area of life really is spiritual.
First and foremost.
That's right. And that is your walk with God. What does it mean to hear well done in your walk with God? That is something that you do need to pray about and to really get clear. Does it mean, you know, reading a certain number of devotionals every day, or three times a week, or one time a week? Right. Of course, you know, being in church.
More commitments with church.
That's right. You know? That's right. Maybe to really
a group.
That's
at
right.
Church.
That's right. But to really understand what that means to be well done, make it a matter of prayer, right? And to have a clear vision of what that means. So you're not really doing any of this because you heard somebody else say it or something. It needs to be something that you really own and that you're really clear on yourself. So, spiritual, your walk with God.
And honestly, I feel like that's what everyone's trying to figure out, right? And in most cases, that could be a lifelong thing.
Well, it is. It is a lifelong thing. That's right. It is a lifelong thing.
I feel like that's one where you never cross a finish line, mm-hmm. per se, mm-hmm. but you're constantly striving to get closer and closer.
That's right. That's right.
And if you feel like you're closer today than you were yesterday,
mm-hmm.
then well done.
Then well done. That's right. But it's all about hearing God say well done, right? And so just being clear on that. Well, the second key area is physical. And that is about caring for your body.
We talked about that over the past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of your temple.
Take care of your, that's right, take care of your temple.
Because if your temple breaks down, then the mission will be incomplete.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to hear well done in the area of taking care of this body? That really involves diet and exercise.
Well, I remember what, 2 weeks ago we talked about that, and we said that how over 40% of adults are chronically dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Over 40% every day.
That's right. You really might not think of, you know, not drinking enough water as, you know, burying talent in the ground, right? Burying treasure in the ground.
Like,
but
for your brain,
your body,
your organs,
is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And so we want to hear, at some point, we want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you took care of what I gave you.
And that's why he blessed us with doctors.
That's right.
To let us know if we're on the right track or not.
That's right. And workout equipment.
That's right. And gym memberships.
That's right. Gym memberships. Yeah. Well, intellectual, right? This is the life of your mind. And it is so easy in today's world. Just, I don't know, we see people get glued to the screen.
Just veg out.
Yeah, just veg out.
I'm too curious for that. You know, I want to be a lifelong learner of cultures and places.
Right, right.
Things are interesting in this world.
But you do like artificial intelligence.
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was fascinating to watch rise.
That's right. So, but to feed your mind, right, and not just culture and so on and so forth. I mean, that, yes, but really feeding your mind on the Word of God, for example, and plugging in what he wants you to be thinking about. And there are some very specific instructions, you know, in the Bible about things we're supposed to think about and things we're not supposed to think about. So stewardship of your mind. Okay, what was that? Number three, right?
That was three, yep.
That was three. Number four, recreational. So how in the world is recreation stewardship?
Because didn't even God rest one day?
God did rest, yeah. In fact,
and it was intentional. It wasn't because he was tired.
That's right. In fact, as I read the Bible, I'm like, you know, at the end of every day, God looked at the day and said, it was good. That means he rested at the end of the day. He had to, because he had to spend enough time thinking about what happened today and to reflect on it and assess it and say it was good. And then on the seventh day, he rested, and he made it a holy day, and he told everybody else to rest too. And every time I read that, I think to myself, I really like this religion, right? Because you're supposed to take a day off. but recreation, I mean, we do not usually equate recreation with stewardship. That somehow does not seem to be, but again, why is it so difficult for us to take time off? Because we get stuck in this workaholic thing, and we just got to work and work and work, and we just
anxiety.
That's right, and we don't take time off.
But if you don't reset and recharge your batteries, mm-hmm. then you're going to be less good for the purpose of God.
That's right. But I do also believe that God made this amazingly beautiful world out there, and he wants us to enjoy it.
I do too.
Right. So we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, and certainly recreation. Rest and rejuvenation, too, is part of that. So there are three more specific areas here. Relational stewardship.
Mm-hmm. I'd say this is a big one.
This is a big one.
That people can ignore.
Mm-hmm. Family, neighbors.
Childhood friends.
We live in a world where houses are close together, but we still don't know our neighbors.
And I also think it's funny that social media was created to make us all closer, but really I think it's driven us farther apart than anything.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So it's not
helping the opposite.
It's not helping those relationships at all. And then of course church relationships. Family, relatives, and friends. So how we relate to people just makes a big difference in the world around us, right? The impact we have is how we treat other people and how we relate to them.
And not just how we treat them, but it's important that I feel that's one of the big ones because people neglect it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like you talked about, people are workaholics, they're grinding, they're trying to build this empire.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going, and before you know it, your kids are grown up, and your marriage is soured.
That's right, yeah.
And what does that do for you? Now you might have this empire and this kingdom that you'll probably have to split in half of in a quadro,
mm-hmm.
but then but your life's upside down as well.
That's exactly right. So make plans, right? Be specific in plans to how you relate to people and how you build those relationships. Okay, vocational.
Uh-huh.
Ah.
That's what we're doing right now, pretty much.
That is what we're doing right now. That's right. We do this for a living, right? This.
But we still try to incorporate God into it.
That's right. We don't do podcasts for a living.
No. The finance.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. But building God into that, and not just building God in, but listening to what he's telling us in terms of how we work with clients, right? But no matter what your work or your calling, really, I think look for ways to bring God into what you're doing.
For sure.
Right? I was talking with somebody earlier today who is a property manager. And I asked him, where does the kingdom of God show up in the way you write contracts for the people who rent your investment properties?
What does that?
Well, it was an interesting conversation. He'd never actually thought about that before.
Got him thinking about it, though,
didn't you? Got him thinking about it. That's right.
Good job.
And the point is, when you really do stop to think about that and you really plan, then all of a sudden there are opportunities for things to happen that years from today, somebody shows up, God shows up and says, well done, right? You may not have thought about that, but you made a huge difference because you didn't bury that particular
talent.
Resource, that talent. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, of course, economics, right? I mean, we talk with people all the time about money and their possessions.
I'll just say, you show me where you put your money, it'll show me your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says a lot about someone, their motivation, their values.
That's right.
And what they hold dear and dear.
That's right.
As what they spend their money on.
Yeah. And I don't remember who said this, but I mean, sometimes we look at things and we say, that's just not very much. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But somebody said this one time, that today there's somebody that is sitting in the shade of an oak tree because many years ago, someone planted a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, that oak tree grows out of a seed that is smaller than my hand, right? It may not seem like that big of a deal, but somebody did that. Somebody was faithful with their stuff, right? And it grew into a tree, and today it blesses people, everybody who sits in the shade of that tree.
And that's what we're trying to do here.
That is exactly what we're trying to do here.
Is to plant these seeds.
That's right.
So everybody can water them and make a big difference.
That's right. So seven key areas to think about as you are thinking about what does it mean to hear well done.
That's right. Well, I like that one. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening this week. We'll be back next week. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.